to read a note to you as a church family. Hand-delivered all the way from the Philippines, which took much less time than the post office would. And it's Lavelle, isn't it? Pastor Lavelle. It's from Scott and Susan's trip there. Dear brethren, warm Christian greetings. We are grateful to our God Almighty for you all as our prayer partners who are concerned for our ministry here at Zion Baptist. I can't read the next. Zion Baptist of the Far East. Baklav. Our hearts are overflowing with joy, knowing that you are backing us up in prayers. Brothers Scott and Susan were a great blessing to us. Their presence, fellowship, and concern for our people are inspiring and even prove to us that distance and race are not barriers in serving our living and wonderful God. Our people were blessed by his preaching. We were even surprised when he requested that me and my wife to stand before the congregation right after the sermon and presented to us the cash gift you have gathered together. It was an unforgettable moment for us and our people. Many have teary-eyed. You all have touched our hearts. God is great indeed. Special thanks to Pastor Anderson and other pastors in your area, whom Brother Scott and Susan introduced our pioneering work. I pray for our prayer partnership to flourish in envisioning souls to come in the knowledge of God and edifying them to serve the true and living God. We have so much people to reach, so much challenge in this harvest field. Let us hold hands together, hearts knit with each other. Again, thank you for the heartwarming gesture of brotherly love and concern for the ministry. Rest assured of our prayers for all of you. Mizpah, yours in the vineyard of the Lord, Pastor and Mrs. Lavelle. Blessing of a cash gift to them of $2,850, which over in the Philippines is a large amount. So they are able to use it, we know. And like he said, many in the harvest field there, the place they live, the small town, is approximately how many?
750,000.
Just 750,000. Small. Over there. What a place. What a number of people. So, we're grateful for that. So we'll put this up. It's from them to us as a church family. With thanks. Let me read from 1 Peter chapter 1 at the end of the chapter. My, how time flies already at the end of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Lord, we are so grateful that we can actually hold the word of God and have it in our hearing and have it in our reading, to be able to have it in our minds and have it in our hearts. We thank you for that. What a tremendous gift. Lord, we thank you that we are able to, with others, be a blessing to brothers and sisters in Christ in the Philippines, continue to enrich their ministry as they reach out in a culture that in some ways is foreign to ours, but with people who are lost and who need to know Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we continue to pray for those who are over there. For those who have been hurt, who are in the damage of the typhoon, Lord, for your mercies, that you would give weather that would be suitable to building their lives again, even at this season over there. And Lord, that you would bless those who are trying to help, like Samaritan's Purse and like others who have already sent supplies and people in to work through the churches to help the people, to just show the love of Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for them and pray that there's not a greater backlash of illness and disease with so much destruction around. So, Lord, we pray for them. And thank you, Lord, you bless us that we can be a blessing to them. Lord, we pray for our government, for those in authority over us, for your hand at work. Lord, it's your sovereignty that our hope is in, that you are in control, even with all that goes on. Lord, you are in control. And so for your blessing in our country, especially for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, knowing you know better than we do, knowing that you hold the heart of the king in your very hands and can turn it whatsoever direction you desire, we do pray for them. That we may be your people in our culture and society. Lord, we pray for these families in our community that have one has lost a young man of their family and another in serious condition, for your grace and mercy to those families, for this young man in Scotts Bluff, for your help physically, Lord, in a way that just wouldn't be generic, but that these people's hearts would realize, Lord, by your help, there is a true God, and he wants to be close to them, to work in their behalf. So, Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand involved in all of that and for the family members, too. And, Lord, for Brother Dan Gettinger, that you touch upon him physically, Lord, for all he's going through in his body, would continue for grace and strength, and that this benefit time would be a true blessing to him and to his family in the help of their need now. We pray for that. Lord, for our lives here, as we bring in, only you know, the things that we are living in and walking through right now. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts, to each of us individually as you are. We are not, Lord, one size fits all. But thank you, your Spirit touches us in ways that are unique and needed. So, Lord, for your blessing on your word this morning, thank you again for it. Help us to exalt you and magnify you as we give our thoughts to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Peter writing to groups of Christians, and some of them probably pretty small, feeling like a small group of people in places of thousands, tens of thousands, even back in the first century, where Christianity was unknown. The message of Jesus was unheard of until in the first century. These people who called themselves followers of Christ were scattered and started to share and spread the message. So to those isolated, who in their own culture, in their own societies, were foreigners, were people of not importance, Peter wrote an encouraging word. And we've seen so much already, because in times of pressure and stress, what is it that you as a follower of Jesus Christ have that cannot be taken from you? Now, lots of things can, physically, but things that cannot be. And so we've seen in the first whole chapter of Peter the things that cannot be. He speaks about salvation. It's in the chapter we've looked at already in weeks gone by. Salvation, faith, grace, hope. Last week we looked at redemption, being redeemed in the verses just before this. Being redeemed. They can't take that from you. Those are things. However society goes. And so there's one more in this as he ends this first chapter in which they can't take from you. And I've picked this out. I call it a pure heart. It's mentioned in verse 22 at the very end. In the New King James, it's the last few words of verse 22. A pure heart. And I picked that out because he talks about in verse 22 at the start, purified. And then sincere in the middle of verse 22. And a pure heart. And then incorruptible. All of these different reflections. Heart. Heart is the core of your being. It's the core of your being. Heart. That's why God says in Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart. It is the place where you make the deepest, most important decisions in your life. It's in the core of your being, in your heart. It is, in some ways, the will of us, our will. It is the processor into computer language. It is the processing point that takes everything that's fed into it and comes up with a decision from the heart. It is out of the issues of the heart that we live. Everything. Emotions, information, everything. That's why in Proverbs, it speaks of the heart often. It speaks of a wise heart. A perverse heart. A heart of fools. The backslider in heart. A sound heart. A merry heart. A proud heart. A heavy heart. And a glad heart. Why so many kinds of hearts? Because it's having to do with the core of our being. As you think in your heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he and so he becomes. As you think in the core of your being. So I call it the will. And here it's a pure heart. Pure. Pure being cleansed. Turn to John chapter 13. Pure being cleansed. Not perfect, but washed. As in the hymn, washed in the blood. Washed in the blood, which, by the way, scientifically, the medical society had a long time catching up with that, because didn't it sound like washed in the blood? Doesn't blood stain things? How can something be washed in the blood? Until the medical science finally caught up that blood has amazing purifying, you know, blood transfusion to get the new blood in there, because blood has an entire cleansing, taking away aspect that it covers in our lives, washed. So cleansing, that's what pure means, cleansed, washed. Now, not perfect though. When does perfection come for the Christian? When does perfection come? Heaven. Romans 8:30, those he justified, he also glorified. It's heaven where sin will be done away with. The presence of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin will be no more. Heaven, perfection, but not here. So pure is not perfect. It is cleansed. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. Jesus, in hours before he goes to the cross, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he had come from God, was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. Verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter. Oh, great Peter. were setting his writing. Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. It's not the first time Peter is telling Jesus what to do. Sounds backwards, doesn't it? But that's Peter. Then, because Jesus is so gracious, Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, verse 10, here we go. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew who was going to betray him. And that, remember those words? And he said those words, and you're clean. You are clean. Not perfect, but you've been washed. Bathed. So I'm going to have to take care of the dirty part of you. But you're clean. You are clean. A pure heart. Cleansed. It's an internal work of the Spirit of God. But it cannot be taken from you. It cannot be stolen. So five truths Peter brings out about a pure heart back in 1 Peter 1. Five things. Five truths. First of all, verse 22, the location of a pure heart. It's in our souls. Since you've purified your souls. Now, the soul is the real you. There's a difference. It's a place of intelligence, emotion, reasoning, personality. The soul. And you might say the heart is the center of the soul, but the soul is the real you. You're in an accident, you lose your legs. You're still you. You're in an accident, you're paralyzed from the neck down. You're still you. You haven't lost any of your personality, your emotions, or your intelligence. You're still you. Soul. But the heart is the center, it's the hub of the soul. It's this interconnectedness. It's not a clean division. It's an interconnectedness. This is how I see it. The center of your soul. But everything comes to the heart. Because at some point, about those things that we need to decide. We make choices. And so it comes to the heart where the crucial decisions are made. Does that make sense? Make sense? Heart, the location. Now the expression of the heart, also in verse 22, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The expression of the pure heart. And actually love is the main verb for all of you English people. Of the entire sentence that runs from verse 22 to 24, it's all one sentence. Love is the main verb. But he says of this, because it's with a pure heart, that first of all, it's sincere. Middle of verse 22. There's no ulterior motive. It's not hypocritical. It's not play acting. It's genuine. It's the real thing. Love. And then number two, about it, he says it's fervent. Love one another fervently. That is to stretch or to strain. It doesn't mean fervent, as in, oh, I'm passionate, I'm emotional, I'm hot. It means to stretch or strain fervently. Sometimes you love people, you stretch to love them. It makes you stretch. Oh, this person, I'd rather not. No. You show them the love of God, but that's going to, I would just die if I, well, that's good. Okay, so die, get it over with, have a mini resurrection and get on with it if it makes you stretch. I always go to Jesus with the disciples in the boat after they've fished all night. Those kind of things. This is not a rabbit track. I am going somewhere with this. Fished all night. Oh, we haven't caught a thing. The Lord says, put out into the deep. Sometimes to love, you have to put out. Okay, I'm putting out. Stretch or strain. Fervent. Now, Peter's going to come back to that, but A heart that Jesus has washed clean will care for others. That's what he says here. Who especially belong to Jesus. He'll look out for others. Number two, in pressure times, Christians need one another. We aren't in the body alone. It's not me. Love one another fervently. In pressure times especially, Christians need one another because great help can come from other believers. Number three, the command is to love. It's not to wait to be loved. It doesn't say that. It does not say, so therefore, wait to be loved fervently by some other believer. The command is to love. Now, I thought about this. Who would want to belong to a group of people, who are all waiting around, waiting to be loved? Who would want to belong to a group of people who are all waiting around, waiting to be loved? I wouldn't want to be. You wouldn't want to be, and neither would they. Neither would the people who belong to the group, because it's always to love, not to wait to be. So the command is to love. Sometimes love makes you stretch, but no one has ever yet been hospitalized by biblically, scripturally loving too much. It's never thrown anyone into the hospital yet, at least that I've heard of. And number five, if you find it difficult to biblically love, then you might want to see what spiritual shape your heart is in, because your heart might be in one of those others that I listed off, only in the negative category. Might be in that kind of category. The location of a pure heart, the soul, the expression of a pure heart, love. The source, verse 23, the source of a pure heart, verse 23, been born again. It's a source. New birth. I thought about this in Old Testament terms. Ezekiel chapter 36, if you want to note that, turn to it later sometime, where God says, take away your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Isn't that incredibly descriptive? A heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Stony, dry, hard, unresponsive. Flesh, alive, soft, sensitive, responsive. You ever tried talking to a stone? Now, I know out in the Pacific Northwest, it would be more in fashion to go, I go out in the forest and I talk to the trees. Well, you got to live out there for a while to understand that, folks. That was a slight attempt of humor into this. Talking to the trees. Because you'll get as much response from the tree, unless there's a woodpecker in it somewhere, as you will to go out in the fields and talk to your rock. What used to be popular just ages ago, you could have pet rocks. Okay, now I'm dating myself. I don't know why it ever got to be... I can see a little rock if you put a little smiley face on it, but these pet rocks, like, I talk to my rock. Now, I talk to plants. Oh, did I just say that? No. Yeah, I had to move the cactus the other day, some of the cactus, so I was like, first of all, you breathe on your cactus. Ha, carbon dioxide. They love it. Ha. And then it's like, okay, because Christmases are flowering. You don't want to drop all the flowers. Well, it's like, here we go, little guy. Ah, here we go. I'm taking you to another place. Don't drop your flowers on me. Well, we can see you more often rather than not. I know, and people are always saying, I'm on the way to really old age, right? No, okay. I'm just having fun, folks. Because the cactus doesn't talk back either. Talk to a rock. Okay, isn't that descriptive? Stony heart. Why are some people, for the good news of Jesus Christ, it's like, I'm talking to a rock here. I'm talking to a stone. Because it just, they have Teflon. It's just kind of sliding right on. Okay? Talk to a piece of Teflon. Just sort of, what kind of slick substance do they have that's against Christianity? Because it's just going. Even if you try to be as loving and intelligent about it at all, which you can about biblical Christianity. Anyways, talk to a rock. Oh. The source, born again. Notice verse 23. Having been born again. Having been passive. Because being born again is not something that you do yourself. Back to John chapter 3, where we read, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There we go. Because that was out of a context that Jesus had with Nicodemus, who was a Jewish religious leader. Jesus to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Nicodemus responds, "What? When you're old, how can you be? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Born again?" Now, and Jesus, of course, meant born from above. Born of God. Born because the Spirit of God has created a new life in you which was not there before. A new life. Gives you a new life. And when the Spirit of God gives you a new life, he also gives you a new heart. A heart of flesh. Alive, sensitive, responsive to God, a cleansed heart, a pure heart. Source, born again. Number four, the foundation of the pure heart. Verse 23 and 24. The foundation, the basis of a pure heart. It's the Word of God. And the one thing Peter brings out, the one thing Peter brings out about the Word of God at this point is it's forever. It's just forever. Forever in contrast to everything else. Look at verse 24. Just think. Verse 24. The glory of man, the best that man can come up with, the best, as well as the worst, but the glory of man, the best of the best of the best that man can come up with, it's all temporary. It is all temporary. So now, grass withers up and flowers fall off. But just think, wherever you live, in the town, in the state, in the country, in the world, in the culture, and the best of the best of the best will someday be no more. It just will not be. Buildings crumble, everything wears out, or whatever is around at the very end will be burned up in a phenomenal fire, and Peter will get to that later, but it will be done with. Except the Word of God. And people too. People. But the Word of God, which is forever. Just forever. How strong is that? The location of a pure heart, the soul, the expression of a pure heart, love. The source of a pure heart, being born again. The foundation of the pure heart, the Word of God. It's a foundation. It's not, "Well, I have a pure heart now, I'm going to freewheel it through life now. I'm going to freewheel it. I'm going to call the Christian life and shots as I see them." It's like, well, that's fine. As long as you see them according to what the Word of God just clearly says. Because that's the foundation. Rather than, now I'm a Christian, I'm just going to do my thing. It's like, fine, as long as your thing is according to what the Word of God clearly, understandably says. It's okay. I'm afraid. Now, by this time, actually, there are three things that cannot be taken. Three things. A pure heart. Your love for other believers. And the Word of God. See, Peter, in this whole chapter, it's like, whatever your circumstances, however bad it could be, there's things, if you belong to Jesus Christ, that are a part of your life that cannot be taken from you, cannot be shaken out. Now, that doesn't mean you're paying attention to them the way you should, but if you truly belong to Jesus Christ, they're important. They're critical to you, and at some point you will realize that too if you have let yourself become cold about them. You'll come back. The final is the receiving or the reception of a pure heart. It's in verse 25, and it's also up in verses 22 at the start. Verse 25 says, "This is the word by which the gospel was preached." And verse 22, "Since you've purified your hearts in obeying the truth." So let's put those together. The truth, which is the gospel, which is the word of God, the message, the gospel, the good news. You know, we are in a terrible fix. We are. We have rebelled against God. We have denied Him His absolute right to be God over our lives. Or as Isaiah would say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have each gone to our own way, leaving God's. We've gone our own. And in refusing God His absolute right to be God of our lives, to be God, we have settled our allegiance on whatever it is that's something lesser. Something lesser, whatever it is. And because of that, we face a future judgment that is beyond our worst nightmare. But God, in His great mercy, sent His only Son Jesus to love us, die on the cross, take our punishment upon Himself, and then rise from the dead to display that everything He did and said was absolutely true. Resurrection. And if we surrender, submit our lives to Jesus Christ, take His yoke upon us to follow Him, then we are saved. We are redeemed. As Peter would say, we have a sure hope of heaven. We have a brand new life. We have a heart of flesh. We have a pure heart. It's the reception. It's how we receive. So to those, and I'll close with this, to have, according to verse 22, some point in your life, obeyed the truth, the word of the gospel that came, submitted to Jesus Christ, to those, you have a pure heart. Not perfect. Not perfect. But pure, washed, cleansed. Pure. And so therefore love and honor the Word of God. And with anyone else here who is not sure if you've even done that, not sure if you've been born again, not sure if you have any hope at heaven at all because of Jesus Christ, let me know. Let me know, please. Send me a note. Write on something. Give it to me. Let me know. I would love to just share. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word again. There's just nothing else like it. So, Lord, for these thoughts out of Your Word, it's Your Spirit who speaks these things into the depths of our beings, into our hearts, in which we process, we deal with, Lord. And so do that, please, and grant encouragement. Lord, You've blessed us so much. And it's Thanksgiving coming up, but we have so much to be thankful for. To those who know Jesus Christ, salvation, the grace of God, the Word of God, hope, faith, a future. All of this, we've been redeemed. And Lord, for anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ, help them. Help them to process this through in the depths of their beings. And to talk to whoever they would talk to, who they would know, I know this person knows Jesus Christ. They can help me to know what this is all about for the sake of their own lives. Thank You, Lord. Lord, for your glory, for your praise, for all you do in our lives. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals, please.